Assalamu alaikum. The following is a recording of the Qalam Institute webinar on the Isra wal Mi'raj, the miraculous night journey of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qalam is committed to provide podcasts, webinars, classes, and much, much more for the entire family for free. Find out how you can be part of our mission to enable as many people as possible to benefit from these resources at supportqalam.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ameen. I pray that you are all well. Jazakallah khair for joining us on this night to reflect over a miraculous night from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and a night that really, you know, had such a lasting impact on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it gave us a beautiful gift that we still enjoy to this day. And again, throughout this night, we're going to be talking about a lot of, you know, intricate details from this moment. We may have heard about this journey, the journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, the miraculous night journey before, but inshallah today you'll spend, you know, an extended period of time with us, with all of the instructors at Qalam Institute, and you will hear about a lot of maybe new details that you haven't heard before. I'd like to start off the program first by just talking about one of the main ayahs that references this event in the Quran. This is the beginning of Surah Al-Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says at the beginning of Surah Isra, سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. There's a lot of interesting things to pay attention to in this ayah. First and foremost, right at the beginning, we hear a word that we might be pretty familiar with, and that's a word of subhan. Subhan alladhi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is making reference to himself, and we usually hear this word in the context of subhanallah. And it's a very interesting word that maybe we use really often and we don't think about what it means. But subhanallah, oftentimes we might translate it as glory be to Allah, right? Or exalted is Allah. But really, subhanallah means that Allah is far above anything else. Allah cannot be likened to anything in essence, in his characteristics, in his actions, in any way. He cannot be likened to anything at all. He's far above anything that you can think of. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing similar to him at all. And on this topic, why is this such an important thing to start off this surah with, and really to start off the mention of this event of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj? If you were following our kind of, you know, flyers that were going out, you saw the definitions of the two words, Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj. Isra making reference to the secret, quiet journey by night that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made from Mecca to Aqsa. And then the ascension, al-mi'raj, making reference to the ascension from al-Aqsa to the heavens. All right, so this journey, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala start off the ayah with subhan? Why this reference to the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above everything? And it's really interesting because if you think about when this ayah, what this ayah is referencing, this event that after it took place when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam came back and he told the people of Mecca of this event, you can imagine they had a question. And that question was, well, how? How is that possible? And what's interesting is that a lot of us might think of that sometimes. Maybe some of us are thinking, when you hear about how did the Prophet ﷺ at that time go from Mecca all the way to Aqsa, then to the heavens, then back to Mecca in one night, right? It's a question that even maybe some of us think of, well, how is that possible? And that's what's so beautiful about this introductory word of subhan, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is far above the question of how. How is not a question for Allah. Allah is capable of doing anything. The limits that you and I think of, the restrictions that lead us to ask the question of how, those don't apply to Allah at all. Allah is far above that. Allah is far above any lack of ability or any kind of deficiency in any way. It just does not apply to Allah. So that question of how, before you even think about it, or before it even comes up, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references that incident, he reminds us remember that Allah is far above everything. He's far above everything. So before that question even pops into your mind, just get rid of it right away. It's dismissed right off the bat. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and in this ayah he says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. He makes reference, he says that Allah, glory be to the one who, or the one who took his servant by night from Masjid al-Haram, reference to Mecca, to Masjid al-Aqsa in Jerusalem, at night, in a single night. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as abdihi. He refers to him and he says, this is his slave, his servant. And when you and I think about this, maybe we don't fully comprehend how powerful that is, but imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala claims you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes and declares your closeness to him. He's telling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you're mine. You're my servant. You're my slave. And that association is so powerful. It's one of the most noble honors that has been given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to be referred to in this way, to be attached, you know, to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that honor that comes with that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, now comes the main reference in the ayah to this event, this journey from Masjid al-Haram, from Mecca to Masjid al-Aqsa. Now, after mentioning Masjid al-Aqsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it just a little bit. And this description is very interesting because it's describing what happened at the event, which again, I'm not going to get into the details of because we have a lot of instructors and teachers coming up who are going to go into great details about everything. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala references the area of Al-Aqsa and he says, الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ, that this place, this Masjid al-Aqsa, this farthest mosque, this place Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed its surroundings. And we're going to see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that. We're going to listen to what happened that night, what happened when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached Al-Aqsa. And what's so profound and powerful about this is that this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referencing in the Quran can still be felt when you go visit this place. When you go to Al-Aqsa, immediately as soon as you enter the grounds of Al-Aqsa, you can feel this barakah, this blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in the Quran. And, you know, alhamdulillah, I had the pleasure and honor of being able to go and visit last November on the Jerusalem trip with Qadam. And this ayah stood out so much as soon as you step in through those green gates. Because throughout, you know, the whole journey leading up to Aqsa, there's so many different hiccups. There's so many trials and tribulations. You see so much oppression around you. You see the difficulty that people are in. And despite that difficulty and despite that situation surrounding this area, as soon as you step onto that noble ground, you can feel this barakah that is referenced in the Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about in this ayah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us why. What was the objective of this journey? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, so that Allah can show the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam some of his signs. And these are, again, things that we are going to be able to learn more about through this program. What were these signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in this area? Now, as you continue with this and you listen through this program, I want you to think about a few things. Number one, think about that word that we started with, the word of subhanallah. That when you hear that, don't think of it as just an expression anymore, but it's a reminder for us to not forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above everything. Don't ever try to apply the question of how to Allah. Don't think, how is that possible? Don't ask questions like the Quraysh asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he told them about this incident. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this a beneficial program for us. Up next, inshallah, we have Ustad Abdurrahman Murphy, who will be speaking on the topic of with difficulty comes ease. Assalamu alaikum, Ustad. How are you doing?
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Doing well, alhamdulillah.
I'm digging the show.
Thank you, I appreciate it. It was in your honor. Alhamdulillah. It's reminding me a lot of the time that we were able to visit Jerusalem together, alhamdulillah. So
yeah, subhanAllah. It was the last, you know, last trip right before the world shut down.
Yeah, inshallah, hopefully this year Allah will make a way for us to go back to his
One thing I wanted to mention, you know, if you're feeling moved by this, for anyone who's listening, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allows you to go there, because it really is something else. Right. And I'm probably going to keep talking about it between speakers as we continue, but it really is something else. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us all to visit and pray in this blessed land.
Inshallah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to everybody, dear brothers and sisters. I hope inshallah that everybody is doing well. And I hope that everybody is preparing and, getting ready for the blessed month of Ramadan, which we know is just a few short weeks away. May Allah grant us that and allow us to reach it. Ameen ya Rab. And it's no surprise and it's no coincidence that the Islamic calendar is so full and so ripe with so many different moments and milestones that prepare the heart for the next moment that's to come. Ramadan is just a few short weeks before the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And, we sit here now experiencing the milestone and the anniversary and commemoration of it, Isra wal Mi'raj, the blessed night journey, the ascension of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And, these things, that in Allah's strategy and his design, they help the heart stay constantly remembering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There doesn't come a moment in our year where we can't look forward to something that's going to happen soon, whether it's a few weeks or a few months from then, where Allah Ta'ala reminds us to come back to him and gives us that inspiration that we need, because human beings need inspiration all the time. And so this commemoration and this anniversary of this event is something that is miraculous. You know, quite literally, it's called the miraculous night journey and the ascension, because it's something that even now, you know, with all the technology and all of the, resources that human beings have and that science has developed, it's just something that seems so incredible and so out of, you know, the scope of our imagination. It really is truly something that's miraculous. But one thing that we find in the Quran, in the stories of the prophets, in the hadith, in the stories of, you know, the great people that came in our history, in the history of the world, is we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to great difficulty with great miracles. That it wasn't as though the miracles came out of nowhere. The miracles always came out of somewhere. You know, the greatest miracle to happen, that the Quran being sent down in the to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Ramadan as the final message to humanity, it wasn't just a casual revelation. It was something that was a response to the difficulty that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was experiencing in his concern over the trials and tribulation of humanity, that people were just so far gone from the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the Quran was sent down as a response and as a way to help rectify and bring humanity back. So great miracles always happen in the context of great difficulty. And this miracle of Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj is no different. This miracle came immediately after what was one of the most difficult moments and times of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by his wife, you know, Aisha radiallahu anha, she asked him about what was the most difficult time in his life. He mentioned, alayhi salam, the experience that he felt during this year, Am al-Huzn, the year of sadness, the year of sorrow. This year is the context that led to Al-Isra al-Ma'raj. The Prophet Muhammad sallam in this year experienced three incredibly difficult things. Amongst many, three incredibly difficult things. The Muslims have been experiencing a very difficult situation at home. As you know, in Mecca, they were being tortured, they were being boycotted, they were being sanctioned, they were being killed, harassed. All of these things were happening to the believers. And so you can imagine, as the leader of these people, as the one who they refer to and they look to for guidance and protection and for, you know, hope, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't just see his people going through this pain and take it lightly. No, of course he felt pain. He felt disturbed that these people were being tested in this way. And they would come to him and they would ask him, Ya Rasulullah, Mata Nasrullah, where is the help of Allah? Where is the assistance that we need so badly right now? And the Prophet ﷺ would have to answer them and say, keep steadfast, keep persevering. It will come. Don't worry, it will come. In this year, amongst those difficult moments woven into them, there were three large milestones that occurred in the life of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ that were so painful. Number one, and to rattle them off in this way is not giving them respect. Each of these could be their own workshop, their own session, but for the sake of time, for the sake of being able to cover this session, we have to say it more or so as a brief summary. The first was the loss of his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. And the death of Khadija radiallahu anha was truly something. It would not be an exaggeration to say that that was something that stuck with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the duration of the rest of his life. That was something that set with him for the rest of his days. Khadija was someone that was so special to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was somebody that was there for him when no one else was there. You know, he spoke about her later on after her passing and said, she believed in me when no one believed me. She supported me when no one supported me. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at his most maybe questioning and most concerned about what had happened when it came to revelation, he went to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and she gave him that firm, reaffirming affirmation, that fortification that he needed to strengthen him and to make him understand that this was not something that was punishment or something that was bad for him, but rather this was part of God's plan. This blessed person, this individual Khadija, our mother radiallahu anha, in this year, the year of sadness, she passes away. And that left the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam absolutely heartbroken. Later on that year, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam loses another dear family member, and that is his uncle Abu Talib. His uncle Abu Talib, not only did he lose him, he lost someone who sat in the position of a father figure for him. This is somebody who loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dearly. He loved him so much. He used to set aside food for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because he wanted to make sure that he always had something to eat. He cared about him deeply as if it was his own son. This was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's relationship with Abu Talib. And even more tragically, the unfortunate reality that occurred in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at the death of his uncle Abu Talib, this beloved person. He tried so desperately to get his uncle to utter some sort of phrase of confirmation of belief in Allah. And Abu Talib, unfortunately, at the challenging and at the reminding of the evil people of Quraysh who were around him, they pushed him away and repelled him from even uttering a single word that would have given the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam some sort of testimony on his behalf. And so the tragedy was not only losing his uncle, but the way in which he lost his uncle, knowing that his uncle unfortunately passed without having accepted his message of Islam. And this led to the third tragic moment, which was the complete and total loss of protection that led to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam having to seek protection elsewhere. You see, the Muslims, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, they could live in Mecca. It was difficult, but they could survive with whatever difficulty they had to experience because of his association to Abu Talib, the family relationship, and also because of his status, his marriage to Khadija and others. There was other factors, but these were the two big factors that protected the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Mecca at that time. And when his uncle Abu Talib and when Khadija radiallahu anha pass away, he loses not only emotionally his family, his loved ones, but he loses the financial assistance and resource needed to build the community. And he also loses the social protection and status that he had with his uncle to build this community and to protect his community and to protect himself. So the harassment and the torture and the pain, it is multiplied, it's amplified times 1,000 when his uncle passes away. He doesn't even have a chance to properly grieve the loss of his uncle before the Quraysh start to really tighten the screws and make things difficult for him and the rest of the Muslims. And this is something now that he has to experience every day, this emotional pain and torture that he has to go through, physical torture that he has to go through, and seeing himself, his family, his friends, his companions going through this difficulty. So the Prophet ﷺ has no choice but to go look for sanctuary elsewhere, to go look for a place to live that they can call home, that the Muslims can just live in peace without even trying to build, quote unquote, an empire, but just be there and just breathe and go to sleep at night knowing that people aren't going to come and try to kill you or family. And so he visits a nearby city, nearby town by the name of Ta'if. They're inhabited by the tribe of Banu Thaqif. And he goes and he speaks to the people there, the leadership there, They're actually a set of three brothers. And he speaks to them and he spends a good amount of time with them. And he eventually makes his proposal to them and tries to speak to them about allowing the Muslims to come and build and set up a place they can call home in the city of Taif. These three brothers unfortunately respond with some of the most horrid and repulsive statements that maybe anyone has ever said to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They mock him, they deride him, they try to insult him, they try to make fun of him. And eventually they just say, you know what, you're not even worth our time. You're not even worth our time. Can you imagine after everything he's gone through? Can you imagine the difficulty of having to hear those words and to know that you have to go back to your people and tell them that it didn't work, that what we were hoping for, what we were praying for, what we were desperately yearning for, it's not going to go through. And this is the kind of situation the Prophet ﷺ had to live in. This is why it was called Amil Huzn. This is why it was called the year of sadness, because it seemed like time after time after time, there was going to be no relief. There was going to be no win. It seemed like he was just experiencing loss after loss after loss. And it culminated in this moment of Taif in which the Prophet Muhammad, when he leaves, he doesn't just leave that city. He could have just left peacefully. The people could have had some dignity and let him leave on his own. But instead, out of their own arrogance and pride and their own tribalistic, animalistic nature, they decided to harass and to abuse the Prophet on his way out by throwing stones and sharp objects at him. And he bled so profusely that his sandals even changed color from brown leather to red because of the blood that was dripping from his body. And eventually, after a few miles of this, of walking out of the city, being tortured in this way, the Prophet was able to find comfort in a small orchard by sitting against a tree and raising his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making a beautiful dua known as the dua of al-mustada'afin, those who the weak ones who have been oppressed. And subhanAllah, this dua is so powerful, so beautiful. The Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asks Allah questions that you and I have probably asked Allah before. What's happening? Like, why? Like, I'm trying to do the right thing over and over again. I'm trying to do the right thing as much as I can, Ya Allah. Why are you letting people do this to me? What's the wisdom here? He's not rejecting Allah. He's not denying Allah. No, of course not. But he's wondering, and his pain is so much. His sorrow is so heavy. The weight he's feeling is so difficult to bear that the tongue can only say, what's happening here? But eventually he finishes the dua by asking Allah Ta'ala and reminding himself and mentioning and saying with his tongue that, oh Allah, it doesn't matter what people do to me. As long as you're not angry with me, as long as your anger is not upon me, then I have no issue. It's no bother. As long as you're okay with me, I'm okay, Ya Allah. But interestingly enough, subhanAllah, this year, even though the Prophet ﷺ handled it so beautifully with such perseverance and patience, little did he know at that time, ﷺ, that what was to come in the response, what was to come in the miracle, in the calling of him to his Rabb, to his Lord, in the calling of him to Jerusalem to meet his brethren, his fraternity of prophets, in the calling of him to be given the gift of the daily prayers, this was going to be the sweet reward that was going to be given to him for his perseverance. And so the lesson that we take from this brief set is very clear. Life has its challenges. If the Prophet was challenged, who are you and I to wonder or to think that we're never going to be challenged? Of course, we're going to go through difficult times. But those difficult times, as Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that those difficult times will always be coupled with some sort of ease, some sort of facility, and some sort of way out. Allah Ta'ala will always provide us a way out, granted we try to persevere and stay true to the path, just like the Prophet ﷺ taught us. So this year of sadness led up to one of the greatest miracles in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's what we hope to talk about tonight. I thank you for joining us. I hope and pray that Allah Ta'ala gives us the strength, the courage, and the patience of the Prophet ﷺ during his year of grief and sadness. I pray that we can learn from these moments and truly better ourselves as a reflection in our faith and in our life with others, with ourselves, with our Lord. Amin ya Rabbil Alameen. Barakallahu feekum. Jazakumullahu khairan, everybody. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.